Luke chapter 12 and find verse 13 this morning. The title of this message in our time together is Failures of Success. Failures of Success. The Word of God is so powerful. It is sharper than any two-edged sword. I mean, it's able to pierce the heart of man. And I'm so thankful to God that He's never changed, that His Word has never changed, and that we are humbled by His presence this morning and this time to actually surround ourselves with the Word of God. This morning I am humbled because of this. And this morning I want to just say to our graduates yet again, congratulations. You've earned it. You've worked hard through perseverance and study. I mean, listen, and that's a large part of your life that you have devoted to school. Now, don't get me wrong. Every day I went, I wasn't as happy as I was about some other things. I felt like when they give you 10 or 15 days to be absent, that was vacation time. You needed to take that. Hoorah. But I want to just tell you, school, I promote education. I just think it's awesome. And don't quit there. I mean, listen, I know college is not for everybody. I believe that. I believe that Bible college is a great tool, but it may not be for everybody. It may be God's will to have you in a secular college. He needs His light to shine in all areas. But I will tell you this, don't think about quitting yet. You let God decide where you need to go and what you need to do. And don't beat yourself up over all these decisions. Let God lead you. He just said follow Him, right? That means He'll make the decisions for you. But congratulations to you. I think it's an honor to have seven represented in our church alone just from high school. And for that, I am deeply, deeply honored to be in this service with you today. But I want to share with you, not only with our graduates, but everyone here today, about success. But now I can tell you how to be successful, and that may not be as real as it would if I told you what not to do in order to be successful. And I want to share with you some failures of success in order that you may find success in your life. But look with me at the Word of God in Luke chapter 12 and verse 13. And one of the company said unto him, Master, speak to my brother that he divide the inheritance with me. And he said unto him, Man, who made me a judge or a divider over you? And he said unto them, Take heed and beware of covetousness. For a man's life consisteth not in the abundance of the things which he possesseth. I want you to circle that verse. That is our key verse today in this text, is verse 15. And he spake a parable unto them. Now, you know what a parable is. I know all of you know. But just in case there are some here today that does not understand what a parable is. A parable is an earthly story, earthly story with a heavenly meaning. This did not actually happen in life. This specific man that Jesus is making regards to, this story did not exactly happen. But now similar stories have happened and still occur today. But this parable that Jesus is speaking about in all of His parables was trying to teach people like me and you how to live on this earth with these heavenly meanings. How can we relate to the kingdom of heaven? How can we relate to God? Well, Jesus is bridging a gap through these parables so that we can apply it to our daily living. And He shares this parable in verse 16. Saying, the ground of a certain rich man brought forth plentifully. And he thought within himself, saying, what shall I do, because I have no room where to bestow my fruits? And he said, this will I do. I will pull down my barns and build greater. And there will I bestow all my fruits and my goods. And I will say to my soul, soul, thou hast much goods laid up for many years. Take thine ease, eat, drink, and be merry. But God said unto him, thou fool, this night thy soul shall be required of thee. Then who shall those things be which thou hast provided? So is he that layeth up treasure for himself and is not rich toward God. Would you pray with me this morning? God, we're so thankful to be here in this sanctuary this morning. Thank you, God, that we're able to come into this place, God, that we have life in our bodies to be able to be present. Lord, we thank you, Lord, for a day set aside that Lord, we are able to come in here. And God, help us this morning, Lord, to lay all those things down, Lord, those things that so easily beset us and distract our minds, that God, this morning we take just a moment in prayer. And Lord, we just say, God, search our hearts. God, that nothing be in between our hearts and you. God, I pray this morning that you would intervene and that you would overcome anything that's there in between our time with you. And Father, may we glorify and magnify and exalt the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, for he is the only way, the truth, and the life. And God, we just pray this morning that you would just help us, Lord, that you would enlighten us and make us more wiser about your word and how to follow through with the commitment that we have made to you, because God, your covenant to us is true and it's sound and it's faithful. And this morning, God, I ask you to help us, Lord, to receive your word, not just to be hearers on this day, but to be doers of the word of God. Lord, I pray now that thy will be done. In Jesus' precious name I ask it. Amen. The failures of success. This morning I'm going to share with you three ways that you can avoid those failures of success. But I want to share with you first that successful people are good listeners. Would you agree with that this morning? Now listen to this very closely. Successful people are good listeners. I want to go back just for a minute and I want to put the first verses together with the parable. The first verses that we read this morning, look at verses 13 through 15. Now this is leading up to the parable. Look into the Word of God this morning. And it says, "And one of the company said unto him, Master." Now this is not the parable. This guy is what stems the parable. And this young, now let me tell you what happens here. This is a young man or a young brother. Let me tell you why. Because he's getting here and Jesus is preaching. When you read the first 12 verses leading up to verse 13, Jesus is preaching about God, his Father. And he's preaching how we should fear the Father and how we should not blaspheme against the Holy Spirit. It's just like a preacher today preaching the Word of God. But yet when someone walks out the back door this morning, they don't know what he said because they weren't listening. Do you know you can look at somebody and not listen to them? Have you ever seen somebody? Come on, now watch this. Have you ever been talking to somebody and you saw when you were talking to them in their silence that a light bulb went off in their heads? You know what I mean? They get that little look. And when they do, what happens is they are no longer listening to you. What they are focusing on is what they're going to say when you shut up. Do you ever know that? It happens all the time. It's not just in churches. It's everywhere. And I'm just standing there sometime and I'm thinking, you know, the best thing I can do as the speaker of the moment is to just be quiet because this cat is cutting me off. And all they're waiting for me to do is be quiet. So what I'm saying, I'm wasting my breath. I'm wasting my time. Best thing I can do is when I see a light bulb go off in somebody's head, just give them the floor. Am I right? Obviously not. Am I right? Amen. I got to have some amens this morning, okay? Because I'm sleepy and you sleepy and we don't need to fall asleep on God. All right? All right. So keep me awake. I'm telling you that it happens. Well, what happens here is Jesus is... Listen, if you leave here and you don't understand the Word of God, we don't need to meet. Because faith comes by hearing. And you got to have faith to match with His grace to be saved. And not only be saved, but to be a follower of God, you got to keep that faith that saved you. So you're going to exercise and condition your faith, and it's going to be sound and stronger than ever before because you listen to the Word of God. So now this young man is here in the crowd and Jesus is preaching his heart out. These first 12 verses, it was a short sermon, sound like. Take note, preacher. But the thing is this young man, listen, a light bulb went off in the midst of his sermon. And he's not listening to Jesus no more. Because Jesus is talking about a totally different subject. And this young man walks up here and he says, "Hey, Jesus," at the end of the sermon, he says, "Hey, will you tell my brother, my older brother, to share the inheritance with me? Because how can we gather this as a younger brother?" Let me tell you why. Not only does he state it, but in those days, the oldest brother or the firstborn received 2/3 of the inheritance. The younger received 1/3. And me being the oldest of 5, I don't see why we can't go back to that. Amen? I'll take 33% and shed it abroad the other 4 children in my family. And I'll take my 66% and I'll pay my tithe and do what's right. Amen? I like this. Not only is it a good thought, but I get to preach on it. But look at this. Are you listening to that? Listen, if you're going to be successful, it's because you're a good listener. Now, what happens here is he's not listening. We've identified that. You've got the point. But now he's saying, solve this problem. He don't care what Jesus is preaching about. He hadn't heard a word. He's just worried about what's in his mind. See, that's why it's important when you come to the house of God, if you're going to be a successful Christian, when you leave the house of God, you can't come in here heavy laden and burdened. You can't come in here with all these thoughts on your mind because that's all you're thinking about. That's why it's important when we come in the assembly of God that people not be a distraction to others. Because you can't help but people getting up and down and going to and from. It distracts your concentration of trying to listen and worship God. And that's why it's so important for us not to be the reason that other people are not listening. But Jesus wasn't an interference. He was trying to preach the Word. So now what happens, watch, I love Jesus, he's so clever. He said, "Well, this guy's not listening to my preaching. What I need to share with him is a parable. An earthly story with a heavenly meaning and hope that he will get it." And that's why he goes into this parable, because this gentleman disrupts his sermon, asking him about something else that he's not preaching on, because the only thing on this young man's mind that day is, "Where's my money?" And he couldn't even see the Son of God because he was worried about money. He could not be successful. And listen to me this morning. If you're not going to seek after Jesus in your life, I don't care who you are, what you are, where you've been, where you're going, you're not going to be successful. At the end of the road, it's going to all be about, ultimately about Jesus. So if there is something here this morning, church, that's got you off track and Jesus is just not in your crosshairs, can I tell you this morning, maybe you need to go get that baby boresighted and then take time to tune it on in this morning. Because if Jesus is not in your crosshairs, you're missing your mark. And if you miss your mark, at the end of the road, he's going to ask you, "Why didn't you?" Because you can't deny it today that you hadn't heard the Word of God because you're listening. And therefore, you've got to give an account for that. Now, you'd better been better not even come this morning than to heard that and not adhere to it. Now, why did God tell us in the book of James chapter 1? Let me read this verse to you, verse 19. James 1 and 19, he says, "Wherefore, my beloved brethren, let every man be swift to hear." Listen quickly and slow to speak and slow to wrath. The encouragement here, if you're going to be successful, number one, successful people are good listeners. Here, let me just end it right here on the first point. Why did God give you 2 ears and 1 mouth? So you can listen twice as much as you talk. But we doing it backwards. Right? Now what maybe God needed to do was just say, be quick to respond and slow to listen. Like reverse psychology. I got to share this with you real quick, and I'm not rambling. This has got very important implications. Went out the other day, and we're on the little T-ball field at the YMCA. And this little boy gets to first base. And I'm crouched down at first base helping the coach the game. And I'm there and I said, "Okay, look, little fella." Now, these are 3 and 4 year olds. Watch, you got to have patience from God to do this. And you're down there and you're knelt down and you say, "Okay, little fella, what's that base called right down there?" "Oh, that's third base." "No, listen, it's our instinct to get ahead of ourselves, is it not?" He's standing on first thinking that's third. I said, "No, that's second base." And then you can go to third base. One base at a time. And then when the I said, but when the ball is hit, I said, you take off and I want to see you run. I want to see if you can outrun SpongeBob. You know, I'm just really trying to use all this good, the good stuff to get him to run. And he's looking at me and he's got that, you know, that mule at a new gate look, you know. He's just not following me. So anyhow, the ball was hit and I give him a little teeny shove because his mom and daddy's probably watching, right? I'm like, you know, you get out of there. And by that time he just kind of, and turns around and looks. I'm like, you know, I'm like, really, you know, you got to get out the way. We're going to get out, you know. And so anyhow, we're running down to second. And if they were keeping score, I really would have went ballistic, you know, but they're not keeping score. But anyhow, I said, okay. I said, don't run to second. Don't you dare. You better not go to second base. And he said, and he took off. I said, look at that. It worked. I said, you wait until I get home. I'm going to try this on my wife. But by that time, and I didn't do it, though. I'm smarter than that. And what I did, he got on second base, and about that time, I told him when the ball was hit again, I said, don't you run to third. And he took right on off, and he ran. But he just wanted to do opposite, right? And isn't that our nature? We want to do opposite, right? So I say reverse psychology may work. Try it. If it don't, resort back to your initial plan. Successful people are good listeners. So he give us two ears so we listen twice as much as we talk. You can't listen from talking. And you know what this young man was doing? Listen to me, church. He was talking within himself while he was supposed to be listening to what Jesus had to say in that sermon. And he missed it. And I don't know that he even got it after that. The Bible doesn't say. I don't know that he does. Probably not. But we must be listening when the Word of God and when God speaks to us. God didn't just speak to us on Sunday. He said He's with us always. I don't think God wastes our time. He certainly doesn't waste His. God's speaking to you throughout the course of the week when you're riding down the road, when you're at work. Don't be talking when you're supposed to be. There's a successful people. Are good listeners. Let me give you the second point. Successful people are good losers. What did he say? Successful people are not only good listeners, but they're good losers. Let me share with you now. Look with me at this parable again that starts in verse 16. Look what Jesus says. And he spake a parable unto them, saying, the ground of a certain rich man brought forth plentiful. Now, I think to show you 11 personal pronouns in a very personal speech. Watch these 11 personal pronouns. Will you watch with me? It's starting in verse 17. And he thought, he's talking about the rich farmer, watch this. And he thought within himself, saying, he's talking to himself, what shall I do? Because I have no room where to bestow my fruits. And he said, this will I do, and I will pull down my barns and build greater, and there will I bestow, and my fruits, and my goods. In verse 19, and I will say to my soul, soul, thou hast much goods laid up for many years. Take thine ease, eat, drink, and be merry. 11 personal pronouns. This fella had an I and a my problem. And listen, if you're going to be a successful person, it will be because you lose ownership of yourself and learn how to gain partnership with God. It cannot be about the eyes and the minds. It has to be not ownership. See, I don't own mine. I don't own my house. I don't own my property. I don't own my cars. Every blessing is from God. Satan can't give you blessings. The spiritual and material blessings of God are of God. And I have to remember, because it's so easy to continue to gain. My son's biggest problem in math, I told you before, he knew how to add, but he didn't know how to subtract good. That means he had to share and give away. But he knew how to add up and tally up. And continue to gain. And what happens is I and my. Have you ever talked to somebody and when you work with them, you know, everybody's got a boss in here. Everybody does. I mean, you know, I don't care if you own your own company, you got a boss. And have you ever stood beside somebody you were working with and they said, yeah, I done it? Listen, y'all been working now. Y'all been out there slaving and working hard. And you walk up there and you happen to walk up with the foreman you're with and you hear, yeah, well, I tell you what I did. And I went over there and used my tools, or I went over here and I used my computer, or, you know, and I tell you, I don't like working with I's and mine's. I like working with we. You ever notice sometime, I'll tell you in this congregation, I'll say, we did this. Truth is, nobody went with me. Nobody helped me purchase that. Not humanly. But you'll hear me a lot of times say we. You may think I'm with a company, but I'm telling you, when I say we, me and God. Me and God. I don't preach. We preach. This is His vessel of clay that He made. Who do I think I am to believe that everything He's given me, that I can go around and not be willing to lose those things that impair me being a good tool in God's shop? So I have to be, if I'm going to be successful, I've got to learn how to be a good loser. I've got to get rid of those I's and my's and lose them today. Because it's not about me. It's about God. To be successful, we have to do that. Not only that, but look with me in verse 15 and 18. And He said unto them, take heed. This is our key verse. And beware. I want you to mark that word, beware. We're going to make reference to it in a minute in another passage of Scripture. Beware of a covetousness, for a man's life consisteth not in the abundance of the things which he possesseth. Church, can I give you something this morning? Wealth is never measured by worth. Listen to me. Don't you forget that. Wealth is not a measure of worth. But yet, leaving high school, my biggest ambition was to work and work as much overtime as I could. Get ahead of the pack. That's just my mentality. Work like a dog. I don't care if it's Saturdays or Sundays. I don't care if it's out of town away from my family. I'll take anything I can to make as much money as I can while I'm still young and dumb. And I want to just go and achieve and do what I can and get ahead. Because once I can get that house and I can get that car and I can get that boat and I can get that hunting, pay my payment to the hunting service down here, $1,000 a year, that's the most ridiculous thing I've ever heard. But I'm telling you right, hey, you just drive down the road, you hit a deer, you ain't got to pay $1,000. I'm telling you right now. People walking around here with three slicks and a Maypop on their car, and they paid $1,000 at the hunting club. I know I'm manless. But anyhow, that's ridiculous. What are they thinking? I mean, you know, that's... But anyhow, what I'm saying is, we have to be willing to lose. We have to be willing to let these things go. And one thing is the perspective that we have in life. My perspective was to go and do. And work hard and go. And you know the terminology about the ox in the ditch on Sundays. We've talked about it 100 times. But most people kick or push or drag their ox into the ditch on Sunday. Am I right? You're the one pulling on the reins because you said, I'll do it, I'll do it. I'll go. Listen, if you've got to go to work, then that's fine. We have several people who are nurses in here. I thank God that God is able to use them on the Christian Sabbath, because if I fall, listen, I broke my arm on a Sunday and I'm glad to know they were there. Thank God for them. And you know what? We can't argue about people working on Sunday if you're the reason they're there. People say, well, we ought not go. Those people ought not be working up there at the restaurant on Sunday. Why are they open? Because of us. Amen. So don't even talk about them people. Keep your mouth shut except when you're inserting the spoon. Because you're the reason they're there. Amen. What I'm telling you, friend, is listen, this perspective that we have, that we got, have we forgotten that God said He will take care of our every need? And when you go out there and you're working all this overtime and pushing and saying, I got to go, and I got to do, you're doing God's work. Because you're trying to meet the needs that God said He would meet. And that's going to be for failure and no success. Because I don't know if you figured this out yet or not, but we're not God, and nor can we perform what He's able to perform. Only God is able. We've got to be willing to lose. I've told you that wealth is no measure of worth, but measure of success is not by worth either. Please don't ever get caught up into this, and I know some of us are. But because we have certain things parked under the garage, it takes that before we feel like we've ever become successful. And I will share something with you, very simple, cut, dry. If you really believe that, then you don't believe Jesus Christ was successful on this earth. If you really believe that this morning, what your thought process is contradicting what the Son of God did in 3.5 years on this earth. Yes, He lived to some 32, 33 years old, but I'm telling you right now, when His ministry began, that hard 3.5 year push, He was pretty well as poor as what He was when He got here. He was born naked and left that way on the cross. He didn't have nothing to show for. He was just a hard-working, calloused hand carpenter's son. Didn't have a whole lot. And if I really mean what I say when I say I want to be like Jesus, let me tell you something, ladies and gentlemen. It's got to be the whole way. You've got to take the whole package. You can't come up here and have decipherment between what you will and what you will accept about the Son of God. It's everything. There's nothing wrong with having stuff. Please understand, because the Bible tells us in 1 Timothy chapter 6 and verse 17 that God made these things. He gave us these things. He gave them to us for us to enjoy. You should enjoy yourself. Listen, when God gives you some extra money, every little extra dollar, you don't have to go to the church. You should be able to take your wife or your husband or your family out to supper. Go get you a steak. There's nothing wrong with that. People's preached on that for years, that every little dollar you get's got to come to church. That's baloney. And I'm telling you, I'm the preacher of this church. Now, I'm not trying to turn you off completely. But what I'm trying to tell you, church, is this. When God gives you a blessing, He said in 1 Timothy chapter 6 and verse 17, you read it, you write it down. There's nothing wrong with having wealth and being blessed. Enjoy yourself. He gives those material blessings to you for you to enjoy yourself. But when you take the enjoyment through those blessings and you forget about God, that's where you cross the line. That's where you made a mistake. Listen, you can't pray for God to make you successful. And once He gives you that pontoon boat you've been praying for the last 2 years on Sunday morning, when you start spending your Sundays at the lake with that pontoon on Sunday, every Sunday, can I tell you what you were doing the 2 years leading up to that on Sunday morning praying for God to bless you? God gave you a material blessing. You took that material blessing and you turned your back on God. That's where you crossed the line. But there's nothing wrong with you taking that pontoon boat and going over to the lake and spending you some time doing those things. But when you turn your back and you forsake God, you took a material blessing and you distorted what it was intended to do. To be successful, a person must be willing to lose. And it's lose those eyes and those minds that this rich farmer had. All he would have had to do when that extra crop come in, he could have said, God, what should we do? Not what should me do, but what should we do? Do you ask God those things? Do you talk to God in that manner? You know that He's your friend. He loves you. And you know what I catch myself doing so many times, churches? Going around here saying, man, what should I do? What should I do? And I have to stop dead in my tracks because I get caught up in it. I say, God, what should we do? And just like that, God, it's almost like He said, I thought you'd never ask. And He just drops it down on you. Do you know what He just saved me? He took the pressure of having to live with a decision that I was going to make. Because if God makes the decision for you, how can you go wrong? Take God on His word, church, and exercise those promises He's given you. You've got to be willing to listen, and you've got to be willing to lose Thirdly and lastly, successful people are good learners. We're good learners. The Bible tells us in Genesis 1 and 31 that God made and He really liked what He made. Aren't you glad when He made you and I that He really likes what He made? Boy, we can, you know one thing, we're going to preach a sermon one day, but I don't think we should be as rough on ourselves as we are. Because you understand that you're rough on the very product that the hands of God made? And when you talk against yourself, you're talking about God's creation. Do you know when we talk about those other people who are hypocritical and those other people who aren't doing what they should, or those other people, do you know that we're talking about God's creation? And what gives us the right to talk about the creation that God has hand-sculpted Himself? Who are we? We're running God's image down in the dirt. Boy, we better think about what we're saying before we say it. Learn how to be good listeners, learn how to be good losers, and learn how to be good learners. God made these things, material blessings. Now, I'm going to give you, I'm going to close this down about material blessings because I don't want it to be foggy as we leave here. A material blessing is from God. Remember, all blessings come from God. Now, material blessings can be done one of two ways. And I'm going to slim this down just real narrow so everybody in here can understand. When you get a material blessing, whether it be, I don't care what it is, it can be a little bonus from the job. And just whatever it is, money's material, boats are material, cars are material, anything you can touch is material. God's given it to you, right? Watch this. When you take that material and you receive that material blessing unto yourself, one of two things are fixing to happen. Watch this close. Number one, you look in the mirror. Or number two, you look out of the window. When you look in the mirror, because that spiritual, that material blessing has come into you, you look in the mirror and say, wow, look what I've been able to achieve and look what my hard work has done. Look what has happened. Easy to do. I'm telling you, I don't care who you are, starting from the preacher all the way to the back wall, everybody likes a pat on the back. You can say, I don't want no recognition. Well, they can pat you back walking out the door. You don't mind it a bit. And sometimes when people's talking and you're like, man, that's enough. All shucks, fire. You know, you don't, what's that? What else you got to say? You're kind of leaning in there, right? You know? Because it makes you feel good in your heart. And I don't care what you say. That's the truth. There ain't no need in getting bragged on and then lying about it. But what happens is you look in the mirror, look what I've done. I got bonuses before. I looked in the mirror and I said, that's right. That's right. I was looking in there at mine. I said, you know what? All those long, hard nights and long weekends away from my family, achieving to be successful. Now watch this now. I'm going to tell you, this is a crying shame. To actually have a material blessing, you are becoming more successful and you still look in the mirror and don't give the credit and the glory where it deserves. See, if you're going to receive a material blessing in the proper way, you're going to look outside the window. Why outside the window? Because you're looking toward heaven and thanking God for what you've received. When you get a material blessing from God, don't look in the mirror. Stop looking in the mirror. Look outside the window for God Almighty because He's the one who gives it to you. Now, why does He give you material blessings? You're going to like this. I am just about done. Let me read to you in Deuteronomy chapter 6. You're going to like this. Deuteronomy chapter 6 in verses 10, 11, and 12. Watch this. I told you beware was coming back. Here it is. And it shall be when the Lord thy God shall have brought thee into the land that I, Abraham, which he sware unto thy fathers, to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, to give thee great and goodly cities, which thou buildest not. Watch what, this is what Moses is telling the Israelites. They have left Egypt, and they're on their way to Canaan land. That's the promised land. But watch this. Moses doesn't prepare them for the enemy. Because who said he would take care of the enemy? It was God. God said, go with me. Follow me. I'll make you successful. I'll prepare a table in front of thine enemies. I will take care of you. I will deliver them into thine hand. But the warning, beware, the warning that Moses gave to the Israelites was this warning. Don't look out for the Ammonites. Don't look out for the Canaanites. Don't look out for any of your enemies. He said, but the warning that you need to know today is this. That the land that was promised to Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, to give to thee a great and goodly cities, which thou buildest not, you had nothing to do with them. But he says in verse 11, and houses will be full of good things. God wants to bless you. God wants you to have good things. Listen, don't you think you got to walk around in poverty and not be successful because you serve God? Listen, most of God's people in the Word of God were very rich and very wealthy. They just never lost sight of where it come from. They were looking outside the window instead of looking at the mirror. But what happens in verse 11? He said that which thou fillest not, and wells dig which thou diggest not. Listen, this is God. This is God. Look at this. He says, diggest not vineyards and olive trees which thou plantest not. Listen to this. He's saying God will bless you. He'll give you stuff that you never worked for. He'll give you stuff you never spent the weekend on. He'll give you stuff you didn't have to work two jobs and your children went lacking. He said, your children need you. They need a daddy. They need a mama. They need somebody to show them how to live. And not run on the church or the nursery or the daycare to raise your children. Nothing wrong with daycare. But I'm saying they ought not to be the ones that dictate who your children become. And that's what happens. We drop them off sometimes to teach them how to live. There's nothing wrong with daycare. But don't let the church and the daycare be the ones that's got to raise your kids. That's why you give them a mama and a daddy. To show them how to be men of God and how to be women of God. Now that's success. You get your home right, everything else will fire on all cylinders. But boy, you get some trouble at the house and mama ain't happy, they ain't nothing going to work. I don't care who you are. Amen? Boy, I'll amen that. Amen, preacher. Amen. But listen. Hey, I love this. Watch this. He says that thou plantest not, and when thou have eaten, you'll be full, he says. Hey, am I the only one happy about this? This is good. Listen what God said. Boy, I love this. I love that. Listen, there's coming a day when we get to walk into heaven. And listen, we haven't done anything. Jesus said, I go to prepare a place for you. The way I look at it, just by receiving the blood on my heart, I'm successful as I'm ever going to be. Boy, I'm telling you, friend, this is good. This is good. This is good scripture. Don't you dare be thinking about where you fit to go eat. You got to eat manna on Sunday morning before you eat material stuff. Amen. I know this is good, but this is good stuff. And listen, God has made these promises to us. And I believe God's true. His faithfulness is far greater than my faith. In verse 12, but look at this. He's went on about this wonderful, powerful promise of God. That's not only to the Israelites, but to you who have received His Son. And he says in verse 12, he says, but then be aware. What did he just say over in Luke chapter 12? Be aware. He says, be aware lest thou forget the Lord. That's looking at the mirror. You're not looking out the window. Which brought thee forth out of the land of Egypt from the house of bondage. You know what he's saying? The same implication is this. You and I were in bondage and Jesus set us free. Listen, not only has God set us free, children, But God said, I've got a place for you which thou hast not worked on, which thou hast not planted. And when you come, you're going to be full of the good things that I've given you. Amen? I'm going to heaven. I'm going to be successful. And I'm going to get a focus this morning and a new perspective about knowing that wealth is not a measure of worth. And that wealth is not a measure of success. It don't matter how many cars I got under the garage. Just thank God for the one I got. Hey, and if you don't like that, you walk home when you leave here. Leave your car right there. Amen? I'll take that sucker to my house. Amen? Then you get to walking. And you'll thank God by the time you get about halfway between here and the graveyard. It's hot out there today. Thank God for them babies. They're blowing too. Church, we've got to learn how to listen. Successful people listen well. You can't be talking. Listen. You cannot be successful people unless you're willing to lose those things that are prohibiting you from being successful. And they're out there. Our lives are full of them. It doesn't make you a bad person. It just means that you're on common ground. But Jesus said, I'll take you out of bondage. I'll take you to a land far greater than we can imagine. We don't realize just how successful we already are. Does that mean we get complacent? No. We just keep on going. Keep on going, Christian. Striving toward it and knowing that your worth comes from what Jesus is going to give you, the direction He's going to carry you. He warned these Israelites because, you know, Moses wasn't even really concerned with the enemy, was he? Graduates, can I tell you something? Your life has changed forever. You are leaving a life of living with mom and dad, going to school where they chose for you to go, and now you have a decision to make about college and or work. You're going to venture out. You're one day soon going to be looking to get married, and you shouldn't be dating anybody you're not willing to marry. You need to keep yourself pure for your mate that you will marry. You need to be proud and not standing there a lie in front of a church wearing a white dress which represents purity, knowing you've already given yourself away to another. For God's sakes, you ought to wear a black dress if you've given yourself away already. And you need to know when you do take those vows, it's for life. When you have your children, they need you to raise them. And listen, base your job, base your school, and base every decision you'll ever make from this day forward around God. And then God will bless you far beyond your imagination. And then you will realize one of the biggest truths in this life that I believe is overlooked. Watch this. The material blessings. Yeah, boats, because one of these days I'm going to get me one. But material blessings are used of God. Watch this. To enrich your spiritual relationship with God. It should be enriching your spiritualism with God and not robbing you. So God gives material blessings in order that most men and women will walk further away from God. It doesn't make sense, does it? Those material blessings were given in order that when you look out the window and you know even a slice of bread's given to you, that you see the hand of God giving you a material blessing. And when you look at material blessings from this day forward, if you see the hand of God and have that perspective on everything He gives you, it will make you close spiritually because of the materialism. And I believe that we've been presented with that opportunity today. I'm not going to have an altar call this morning. I just want you good people to stand with me this morning. I believe that God changes hearts no matter where you are. I believe this morning that if God has spoke to your heart, do you know this morning if you've never trusted the Lord Jesus Christ, it's just as easy as ABC? All you have to do is admit that you're a sinner. That's where it starts, right? You got to believe in your heart that God's Son died for you and God raised Him from the dead. And see, you've got to confess your sins. Don't just admit you've got sins, you've got to confess them. Too many times at the altars of God, we come because we are truly sorry of the sin we live in. But when we leave, we carry that sin out the door with us and we never have deliverance. That's why people just always have to keep coming back, keep coming back, keep coming back. Because you're still carrying the same thing you come on the first trip with. You got to admit, you got to believe, and you got to confess. And then you'll be born into the family. The chains will fall down. You'll be freed from bondage. And you'll be able to receive the blessings of God. This morning, you know what I did a large part of my life? I trusted in Mac and not in God. I didn't really believe that God could take care of the fowl in the air and knows when a sparrow falls from a tree. I didn't believe that. But I know if Jesus found beauty in His Father's creation, what kind of beauty is in you and me that His Son died for? God's Son didn't die for the animals. He didn't die for Mother Earth. He died for these vessels of clay. How special are we? And I'll tell you this morning, we can leave here looking in the mirror, or we can leave here looking out the window. And saying, God, thank you for a cool... You know what I'm fitting to do when I leave this church in just a minute, Jerry? I am going to thank my God in heaven for a cool drink of water. My mouth is dry. I ain't leaving. Hold on a minute. Thank you, God. And who brought this? Who brought this? Who? Jason, you brought it. Jesus said, that's exactly right. A cup of water. A cup of water will bring you reward. What you going to do when you leave this church and you start telling people about how good Jesus is to you and you watch their lives change in front of you, what kind of reward will that bring in glory? Are you challenged? Are you inspired? Do you know that He's with you and no one can be against you? Let us always know to be successful, we've got to be good listeners, good losers, and good learners. And Rick Warren said that the problem with tomorrow's success is because we don't get today's success. You know where you're going to get today's success from? Can I lift it up high enough for every man, woman, boy, and girl to see it? If you want to be successful on Monday, learn how to take your success on Sunday and live it. Brother Charles, will you dismiss us in prayer? Listen, and I'm looking forward to seeing you back tonight at Lebanon Church at 6 o'clock because you really believe there's a God and you believe that He'll bless you. Listen, some of you being blessed from coming to church on Sunday morning here, you want a double blessing? I'll see you tonight then, Brother Charles.